What's up, guys, and welcome back to That Reload Life. If you're listening to this, you're in the right place. Guys, this is part two of a two-part conversation we had with Kristen Redirath from At Gathering Health. In the first part, if you haven't listened to that, you need to go back and catch it. It's full of awesome information on health, feeding your body, exercising, the right stuff to do, and the right fuel to put in it, among other things as well. It's a great conversation. Such a good conversation that we had to make it into two parts. We just couldn't stop talking to Kristen about all the interesting things that she had to bring to the table. I'm telling you guys, this is not one you want to miss. If you didn't listen to part one, go back and check it out. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get part two of our conversation with Kristen going. This is That Reload Life, and you are listening to Kristen Redirath at Gathering Health. Let's see, where are we at here? Okay, well, we're good. So one thing I really wanted to talk about, because something that we share and we have in common, is we're both hunters.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about your hunting lifestyle. Was that always something that you did, or was that something that was new because of the health issues? Break down hunting for me, for you, and how it plays into your how important of a role does it play in your life?
Yeah. So I didn't grow up hunting. My dad didn't hunt until actually after I graduated from high school. So he'd always wanted to hunt, but he never did. So I met Brady, and it was one of those things. It's like, okay, this is all this dude does. Like he hunts all the time. That was his life. And at the time that I met him, we were just gearing into like goose and duck season and then bow hunting and whatnot. And I quickly realized that if I wanted to spend time with him, I was going to have to either like tag along or figure out, you know, or not hang out with him. Right. Like, because he was going to be gone hunting all the time. So he took me scouting quite a bit that summer that we first met. And then he asked me if I wanted to shoot, right? Because the first time we met, we played, the first weekend we hung out, we went and played tennis, and I beat him, and he got really mad and threw his tennis racket.
Really?
And it was, oh yeah. Oh yeah, he got so mad. And it was almost like, he's like, I'm going to level the playing field. We're going to do hunting. You know what I mean? Almost like that evil.
Something I'm better at than you at.
I wish he was on this podcast right now.
I know.
I 100% do.
You can ask him about it later, because he'll admit that I beat him and he was not impressed, right? So he took me to Gander Mountain at the time and he bought me a bow. He bought me all the camo. Like, he was like legit. We were only dating. Like, we hadn't even been dating that long. And he spent all this money on me to like take me hunting, and I was like, sweet,
was
like this should be fun, right? And everyone was like, oh.
He bought me a bow. So
yeah.
That's
like buying an engagement ring in the hunting realm.
Let me talk about that for a minute, because like, you know, it was opposite for me growing up. Like, my dad introduced me into gun hunting first. Well, my dad never was really a bow hunter, but I didn't get into bow hunting until later in my hunting like life. Mm-hmm. It was always firearms, because that's be honest with you, it's the easier of the two, you know?
Yeah. I was a little intimidated by guns, to be honest. And it's funny that now that I'm
now
so confident. I know, right? Now that I'm so confident in rifle hunting and all of that. But I was a little nervous. I had never even handled a gun at that point. And so for me, I was a 21-year-old going to take a hunter safety with like a bunch of fifth graders, right?
Yeah.
Because I had to go, you know, and I had never handled a gun before. My parents like didn't have guns, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, can you tell me all these parts? And you know, I was just very kind of, bow hunting seemed a little bit more less stressful for me. And so that's kind of where we started. And I shot my first deer with a bow before I ever shot anything with my rifle, which is kind of crazy to think about. It's a lot, it's backwards for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of, he was more so into bow hunting at that point, just because he had access to family land around there and he had the ability to just drive out, go bow hunting for the night, drive back home, that type of thing. So he bought me a bow, he bought me all this camo, took me hunting, and it just became the thing that we did together. Like, it was our time. People would say, oh, are you guys going on a date night to Fargo or watch a movie or whatever? No, we're going to the tree stand, right? Like, that's just what we ended up doing. We'd go. Yeah, Fargo, right? That was 45 minutes from where he grew up, so, and where we met. So it's kind of funny.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Nothing like the movie.
I know.
So it just became kind of our thing. And then after we got married, and it just kind of grew from there. And for a while, I was having babies, and, you know, I didn't get to hunt as much as I had wanted to. But then when we moved to South Dakota, it was like, holy buckets, there's so much to do here. There's so much hunting around here. There's so much fishing around here. It just became something that we could all do, like the whole family. We could take everybody with us. So in fall of 2017 was the first year that all the kids got to all be with, like legit all of them with. When we would go hunting, we'd take all three of them, and not by choice, we would go, you know, a weekend or two by ourselves, and family would come and hang out with the kids. But if we didn't fill our tag, we still wanted to go out and still take the kids. So we'd take the kids. And that year, Cooper came with me. We stalked a mile and a half after some antelope. I shot an antelope. He got it on video. The kid was so freaking stoked, like just the two of us. That same year, we had the kids out, and Cooper and Brady had shot a doe that morning, a doe deer, because Brady had like a leftover extra tag, and he's like, oh, we want to get some more meat. So he took Cooper out, and they hunted that morning. And then the girls and I got in the Suburban, drove the 2 hours to where they were at, met up with them. Brady and Cooper jumped in with us. And we were just, you know, driving, came up upon this place where we knew there was some deer, went and asked the landowner if we could hunt. And he's like, well, first, I'd just like to really see if she could shoot, looking at me.
Really?
And yes. And I mean, I don't think he really meant it like that. But, you know, like in South Dakota, everybody asks for permission. And a lot of times you just don't know what you're going to get. And so I was fine with that. Like, I was really comfortable. Sure. So he had a stinking 1,000-yard range in his backyard. So he's what? Like, yes, it was like just across this field of his. So he was shooting long range when we pulled up. He was like shooting targets. He's like, you should just, I don't know what they were saying. I was sitting in the car, and Brady was out there talking to him.
You're
I was
up.
Hanging with the kids.
And, come on, Kristen, you're up.
I'm gonna put this post stamp out here about 1,000 yards. See if you can hit George Washington's face over there.
Right. And so all of a sudden Brady goes, he's waving me out. He's like, come on, come out. And I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? Right. Like, so I get out of the car, and he's like, he wants to see if you want to shoot a couple targets. And I'm like, what? Like, the sun is going down. Like, I'm losing minutes. Can we just go? And he's like, just do it.
So, just shoot the damn targets.
Yeah.
No pressure.
So I get out there, and he's like, do you want to shoot this first one? And the first one was at like 250 yards. I nailed it right away, whatever.
Yeah.
Second one, he's like, shoot that fox that's out there. So I shoot this fox, is at like 450 yards. I hit it, and he's like, just try this 700 yard target. So I, you know, Brady and I have like a calculator type thing. So I'm dialing on my scope to know where I need to go, trying to figure out what the windage is. And we're kind of chatting about that. And he's like, oh, so you know how to calculate all that, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he was just kind of blown away by that. So then when I hit that third target, he was like, yep, she could shoot. And then he turns and looks at Brady and he goes, you might not want to make her mad.
Because you won't escape.
Right?
So, you not only got approval, but you scared him.
How far was the third target you shot?
Like 700 700.
It was either 650 or 700 yards.
Are
yeah.
you kidding? Oh, my.
No,
word.
But.
See,
what?
Honey, I need a scope like that, okay?
Yeah, you do.
I need a BDC. Do. And for those who aren't who don't know what that is, that's a bullet drop compensator. I want yeah. one bad. I do. Like, the furthest I have ever taken an animal has been probably about 315 yards. That's the furthest. And that's me.
But in the areas that you hunt, that's about all you need, right?
Oh, it is. It's totally all I need. But I do have the farm that I do hunt yeah. out in West Tennessee. I could shoot a 600-yard shot if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I would never do it. I would never do it because my scope, my equipment isn't set up for that.
Set up for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the Stadia Hairs. I don't have the BDC or anything like that. That's crazy. I would lose my mind if I hit anything inside of a
dinner. So you need to come to South Dakota and just hang out. So I would never shoot, like, I would never go try and shoot a deer at that range.
If I thought I could hit it, I'd do it.
The furthest
rockstar.
I don't tell you what the furthest I've shot an animal at because that's so controversial. So many people have opinions on that. Whatever. People get all riled up about that. But when I first started, so I didn't tell you this. When I decided I wanted to start rifle hunting, Brady took me to a long range tactical shooting school, and I was like, OMG, this is so overwhelming, but I literally fell in love with long range shooting at that tactical school. They taught me everything, like bullet drop, how to calculate MOAs, how to figure out windage, like all that crap, and how to adjust my scope to do it, right?
So we're getting on a completely different subject aside of food, but I mean, but seriously, there is people think that because you have this big scope on your gun, that it's just point and shoot. There is so many variables.
And that's crazy. You just got into this, you know, what, 10 plus years ago?
Yeah. So what year was that we started dating? 2005. And I didn't really start rifle hunting until probably 2000. I shot my first deer when I was pregnant with Cooper, and Cooper's 9. So
I wish. I love my wife very much, and she will film with me. She loves the food. I do wish sometimes that Stacy would get the gumption to and she's got a tender heart. Like, she doesn't want to pull the trigger on an animal, and I totally respect that. That's why I don't push it. But
I have no problem eating the animals.
Oh, she has no problem eating it.
I didn't think I would want to do it either until I shot one for the first time.
I'm
slowly becoming desensitized to it through watching him. Yep. It's something I just don't want to do yet.
But I do want her to one day, because I would like for it to be a family thing, like, you know, with us. And it still can be, because she can come out and sit and film and stuff like that.
Listen, you have got a primo scenario. I'm not the one fighting to say, hey, I'm going to be the one to shoot it. You get all the shots.
Honey, the primo scenario is me being able to cuddle up to you in the stand.
Right.
I'll go with you to the stand any day.
Because some people will say to Brady, he's like, oh, you know, they'll say, oh, that's got to suck. Your wife hunts too, you know? And he has such a different opinion of that. He's like, oh, that's so awesome because all my, like, when I shot my mule deer this year, that dude was more excited than I was.
Absolutely. And I know he would be the same.
Listen, I've been hunting for 20 plus years. Like, it's been, I was 12 years old, 11 or 12 when I started, and I'm 35 now, so I'm not great at math, so do that, whatever. And I would get more enjoyment out of my kids or her having success, and I saw that in my dad. My dad, when he was teaching me to hunt, it's like he was giving me the primo spot. He was giving me the best spot because he was putting me on big buck spots over himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, a big buck here, you need to sit this. And he had never killed a big buck. I killed, we used to have hard hunting, hard whitetail hunting back in the day. And I, you know, I took... A a wall hanger, so to speak, before my dad.
Your dad did. My dad ever did.
You know, and that's a testament to what hunting's really about. And I know we're getting off topic and everything, but it's a testament to what hunting is really about. Is it brings people together. It gives camaraderie and builds relationships. It's not just about getting out there and shooting stuff. It's about, you know, some of the best memories in my life are are out there with my father and his buddies hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same thing here, and we talk about this a lot. Just especially recently, as we're just kind of reflecting, like Cooper shot his first two animals this year, and there was nothing. Like, I told Brady, you know, to watch him take an animal and how cool and calm and collected he was because he had prepared for so long.
Yeah.
There's no freaking prouder moment as a parent to watch your kid just. The smile on his face and the excitement. I told Brady, like, I'm way more excited for him than I ever was for myself. Even now, I'm like, I shot a beautiful mule deer this year. It was an amazing experience. The memories that I made with Brady on that hunt were so precious. But Cooper got his first two animals this year. Mm-hmm. Like, that totally trumped everything in both of our books. And we just know that those memories are only going to get better because we have two other kids that are going to get to experience that too. So it's just our time together and our time to do something that's not sitting in front of a screen or a tablet or, you know, whatever. We're getting out and enjoying the doors.
Yeah, I can't wait. Honestly, I can't wait for the day where I see our sons harvest their own animals. But speaking of that, you know, you said it's part of your family thing. You know, I know you've at times received some backlash for you know, being at the gun range with your kids. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh, people get so stinking bent out of shape about that. So what you're referring to is my 3-year-old who wants to be involved in everything, right, Kaisley?
Of course.
She is the cutest thinking thing, and she wants to be just like us, right? And so she has this little toy rifle that she brings to the range. It's plastic, but it makes noise. It makes a shooting noise. She can open up the bolt and put little, you know, cartridges in and whatnot and pretend she's shooting. And so she's at the range, and I'm putting her on my Instagram, and people are like, how dare you, you know, like, come on, right? Well, obviously, like, I'm teaching her, one, safety. She's knowing where to point her rifle. We're talking about these things with a toy gun, not even a real gun, right?
Yeah.
And she's understanding that we're doing that, we're spending that time at the range, because that then makes us more prepared hunters. That
Absolutely.
Then makes us way more ethical in everything that we do, because we have taken that time to train and to make sure that we're at our best, right? Like,
yeah.
When I first started shooting, I was naturally, I think, decent at it, but I've gotten so much better because I've taken coaching from Brady, or I have listened to what he said about positioning, or I figured out what works for him that doesn't work for me, right? There's a lot of that. And so taking our kids there and letting them see us practice and know how seriously we take it is only encouraging them to do the same, right? And to be ethical hunters and to be not just like show up on opening day with whatever rifle you feel like and not even know if it's sighted in, right? Like, there's so many things that can go wrong in that situation that I feel like we're doing our job as parents to educate them that they need to be prepared and they need to take it seriously. This isn't just like something that we show up and do.
Well, listen,
right?
I mean, like, you're 100% on par with this, because like when I was getting my concealed weapons permit, I was dying inside at the questions I was hearing from some of the people that were taking a concealed permit class that wanted to carry a concealed weapon. And I'm happy for them that they wanted to carry. I am totally supportive of that. But when I got when I'm sitting in the class, it made me kind of fear a little bit because there was people in there going, well, where's the front sight?
Oh my gosh.
what's the magazine? And I feel that it's great that they felt a need that I need to care. I need to be a gun owner. I need to do this. And I applaud them for going and taking a class on doing so. But the lack of education that was there was alarming.
Mm-hmm. You
know, like, I want my boys to understand and know that this is a gun. This thing is not a toy. It is dangerous. Mm-hmm. You need to know how to use this and respect this. I had a buddy of mine, one of my best friends growing up. His family, they were not gun owners. They didn't own any guns. And, you know, he was telling me about, you know, when we were in high school and right outside of high school, you know, we're full of testosterone, all that jazz. But he was telling me, I was arguing with this guy and he pulled a gun on me. And I told the guy, I said, he goes, pull the trigger, do something. He goes, all I knew was movies.
Yeah.
You know, a guy would get hit with a bullet and he'd get up and he'd keep fighting.
Yeah.
He goes, but then I went to a gun range and I fired a weapon. And I was like, holy shit. Pardon my French. This is a lot more powerful than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I think there's such a lack of education on what a firearm is that you know, I applaud you for having your kids around it. Because my dad always did it. You know, he always, this is my gun. Don't you touch it. This is it. You know, but he would always take me shooting. I knew what a gun would do.
Right.
I saw what a gun would do.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me respect when he
the
was
the power set. Behind it, right?
Was, what it would do. I was saw what it would destroy. You know, and he's like, this is why you don't touch this, because this is what this gun does to something when I pull this trigger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He took the curiosity out of it and just flat out taught you. Like, you don't need to be curious about it. This is what happens. Like, this is how you operate this. This is what will happen if you pull that trigger, right? Like, you knew it, you felt it. You had that healthy fear that you could hurt someone with it. And sometimes I think when I first started shooting, I was so scared of it because I never had any access to any of that, right? I had never been educated. I had never hunted. So it took me a long time to get comfortable with that, right? To understand and to know that I could do it.
Yeah.
But get past that mental block that was also in there as well, just because it is such a powerful thing. It is kind of a scary thing if you're not ever around it. And for our kids, I don't want them to look and see it as something that they need to be afraid of necessarily, but something that has a healthy amount of fear as well, that they don't want to be irresponsible with it.
Absolutely.
Well, just know that we fully supported you in that, and you know, definitely stand behind you in your
Stacey
choices
was
of
talking,
parenting.
Stacey was talking smack. She was like, "Oh, look at the, you know."
Well, that's the cool thing about Instagram community too, is that, you know, I didn't really even have to say anything. People were like quick to jump on, you know, right behind me and say, "How dare you?" You know, you're batting your finger, or whatever, at someone who's educating their child, and you know, and. The gal was like, had her daughter dressing up as like a zombie, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, really? Like,
a dead person.
Yeah, here's your 2-year-old dressing as a dead person, and my child's at a shooting range learning how to shoot steel chickens. Like, well,
you know what? I think this is something that should be talked about at a later, like, I think we should, I would love to have you back on.
Mm-hmm.
At a later date.
We've only hit like the tip of an iceberg.
This topic, and it's something that I think needs to be talked about. And I think you'd be a good person to have on back on.
Yeah.
To talk about this. So I know we have gone down the rabbit hole away from food and being healthy to gun control. But hey,
that's okay.
It's at the end of the day.
And parenting styles. I mean, we could keep going.
You are a pleasure to talk to. You really are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you are.
Same to you guys.
thank you, but you're a plethora of knowledge.
I know, it's like I want approval from Kristen. It's like, I was like, what is your opinion on this?
I know.
What's your opinion on this? What do you think?
Kristen, I've had 3 rock stars today. Judge me.
You can send me a photo tomorrow of you smacking that crap out of his hand, right?
That's right.
I'll be expecting a text message, Joel, of I only had one or I didn't have any, right?
Well, that's the thing with him, is if he says he's not going to do it anymore, he'll just quit it altogether. He will.
Look, like, I want.
He's an all or nothing type
that's
of
him.
Person.
Yes.
And if you've been talking all the negativities about it, he won't drink them again. He won't. I just know how he is.
That's weird. I'm a weird person, but
he's not gonna wean himself off.
I'll say this.
Well, you better get yourself some coffee if you're used to that much caffeine, and you want to come, or you're gonna have one massive headache.
I know. That's what we're worried about.
He loves coffee.
I do love coffee, though. But I will say this, Kristen, that it's not really a me thing. It's if my wife looks at me and says, I don't want you doing this anymore, I'm just not going to do it. You know? That's something I do need to fix. I don't do it for me.
Unless it was hunting.
I'll do it for her.
Right.
I said, Layla, I don't want you to hunt
Rick
anymore.
Told me he said we signed. He always tells everybody we signed it. How does she let you get to go hunting all the time, right? He's like, it was in the prenup. We didn't have a prenup, right? Like,
of course,
we didn't have a prenup.
Yeah.
But
I love him.
I should have done that.
I love him too much than to even ask.
Right?
To give that up.
Exactly. And that's what I always tell people. I'm like, why would I take away the one thing that literally makes him who he is? Like,
yeah.
He's not Brady if he's not hunting. So there's
and we
no
would
way
have
could...
an empty freezer if.
Right?
I mean, we are getting a little empty right now. Those skills have been.
Don't you talk about my skills. Listen, no. Don't you talk about my skills. I have a legit excuse. CWD is broke out in my. Yeah, it broke out in my county. For those who, if you're listening, what CWD is, it's chronic wasting disease. It's basically mad cow for deer. And that did it. Broke. They discovered it, 10 cases of it last season in the county, like my county that I hunt in, and like 6 or 7 other counties surrounding it. So
I think it stands for can't whack a deer.
Oh, no.
Oh, she went there.
That's
where
there.
You know what? Tyler,
okay.
Here's
the thing. In South Dakota, if someone were to shoot a deer and they were worried about it having chronic wasting disease, they would still take the deer and they would just like test it and send it in and see if it had it. And if it did, they wouldn't eat it. If it didn't, then they would. Are you noticing like you're not even having opportunities because of chronic wasting?
He's not having as many opportunities.
So it's a 5-hour drive for me to get to my hunting property. And we have noticed over the past 4 years, it's been a steady decline
in population.
We're getting to the point where we used to see 10 to 15 deer every time we would sit. Because in the unit that we hunt in Tennessee, we can shoot 3 does per day. We can shoot 3 does per day.
That's why we would fill the freezer up
every
freaking
day, man.
Nine or ten deer.
Right, so
you get like 1 or 2 tags a year.
No, I get 2 bucks. I can shoot 2 bucks a year, and I can shoot 3 does per day.
So we typically would try to get about 8 to 10.
No wonder you guys don't have any deer. Everybody's wiping them out.
That is true, but that's. I mean, that's been our groceries. I mean, he would come home, 8 to 10
right.
deer. We would give it away to friends and family. We're always smoking it and, you know, making sliders and crock pots and chilies and stuff.
Yeah.
We have
an
abundance of meat, and it's been incredible.
I mean,
and then this year was the first year what we got, like, 2 in the freezer, which we did have some leftovers from the previous year, but I felt like we've had to ration.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, we're in ration mode because Brady didn't get an elk this year. He hunted with Luke, his good buddy, and went on his trip with him to kind of like repay elk or Luke helping him with his trip. And so he actually didn't even have a tag this year. Thankfully, we had, Cooper brought home the bacon this year.
Nice.
And an antelope and a deer. I shot an antelope and a deer, and Brady shot a deer. So we had five, I think, this year. But still, like, you think about the amount Brady eats, it's way more than that. We're going to be out soon.
And we are familiar Brady, with Luke.
Brady, the human garbage disposal.
I know.
Luke is one of our Reload customers.
Because
yes.
He loves it. He loves it.
Yeah, shout out to Luke.
Well,
and the photo that I took, so the photo with me wearing my Reload shirt, making the sweet potatoes, that's in his kitchen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was on my antelope trip. So
yeah, he's Brady been a faithful, a loyal Reload customer.
We've gotten to a part of my life in this topic that I could talk and talk and talk about this. You know, putting down an elk is a bucket list for me. And elk and moose.
He will cry.
Oh, it will be like ugly cry if I ever shoot an elk.
Well, you need to get Luke on your podcast because Luke is the elk whisperer.
Really? And he even made me promise him if something ever happened to him that I would have to go fulfill that bucket list.
I did. Like if something happens to me, her or one of my boys has to go take an elk for me in spirit.
I've never killed anything.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Yeah,
just
so
stay alive for us.
Not, Brady asked on Hunting Fool. Do you know what Hunting Fool is?
No.
It's like an online hunting forum where you can like ask questions and people post articles and whatnot.
Yeah.
Brady had a membership to that. Luke had a membership to it. And Brady posted the question asking if anybody would be willing to help him like learn how to elk hunt, right? Like, not really learn how to elk hunt, but like give any insight. He was looking to hunt Wyoming and over the counter. And Luke responded, and Luke sent Brady all of these maps, told him like all of these places that he should check out, talked him through the whole thing. Like, was an open book, and he literally, the two met on the internet. And the first day that I went to, like, Brady was going out to elk hunt, and I was pregnant with Kaisley just after I had back surgery, and he was going to meet up with Luke, and I was like, turn your phone, your GPS on. I just need to make sure, like, I know where you're at. Like you've never met this.
We need to make sure Luke's not going to rape you.
I know. Make sure you're not some sort of serial killer, right? Like,
I'm worried about my 6'3" husband.
But at the end, like, it's just crazy. Like, when you think about it, they met on freaking Hunting Fool. I always say that they met on some hunting dating website because they're like,
sounds like huntersonly.com.
Right? And. But now they're like best friends. He calls every day. They talk all the time. He then came deer hunting with us last year here. He helped Brady get his first and second elk that never would have been possible, honestly, without Luke. Like, he has taught Brady everything that he knows, and he has so graciously just helped him, right? So then we returned the favor this year. He came, and then I got to go antelope hunting out at his place. Like, it's just crazy to me the relationships that you can form over social media, over the internet. Like, when you have a common interest and when you're willing to help others, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy when people are so selfless. But his wife is also named Kristen as well, which is really creepy when you think about, and his son was born on Brady's birthday. Like, just all of these little things that it's
That's
like
the universe, man.
Yeah. We're meant to be friends, and just crazy how
That's
that
like
is.
Us. I mean, like, me and you, well, like the other day when I was working out, I legit talked to Kristen the entire time. The entire time. I'm like right back there, as you can see on my elliptical, just sitting there without even my hands, just sitting there tight. Just typing and working out. But it's just cool because we're however many hundreds, thousands of miles away, and we have to get together at some point. I think the four of us breaking bread together would just it would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be so much fun for sure.
Well, we're fun people, so
Brady's fun.
I love how this whole podcast. I'm trying to crack some jokes, and Kristen's
and we all just roll our eyes.
Kristen's looking at me like, get alive, come on. Try again,
she
bro.
Lives
Try
with
again.
Somebody just like you.
Like, we, Brady and I, are probably like the equivalent of you two, right?
I swear, you guys remind us.
Yeah, we're like, we give them so much shit for being like so dumb, right? Like just, just being dumb is funny, right? Like he's says the stupidest things and it's funny.
It
but
is
I
so
like,
great.
Love to give him crap about it.
Oh
right?
Yeah, and, like, we bust each other's balls and we just. Yeah. I think that's what makes.
We make your lives entertaining. Come on.
Exactly. You keep us on our toes, like. It's just the funny crap that comes out of your guys' mouths that you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that, but everybody's going to laugh at it, so we're just going to roll with it, right?
Well, look, I got to say this. You have been great to have on this podcast. You've been so great to talk to. I swear, we've been going forever. I know when we were talking earlier, you were like, we recorded a 2-hour and something podcast. I think we are on, 2 hours and 5 minutes now.
And yeah. And we've just and there's so much more.
So this
so much more in the tank.
I know, and I have more questions. I have more things I want to ask you, but
and dive deeper into Refresh Your Plate, Gathering Health.
I know. I think we're gonna have to make this a two-parter at some point.
Sounds good to me.
But look, but seriously, this has been awesome. I want everyone who has listening to this. To go check out Kristen. I want you to check out Gathering Health. I want you to check out Refresh Your Plate. If you're somebody that's like me that needs to be inspired and pushed and to get back on track, to be the better person, to be the best person that you could be for yourself and for your family, you've got to check out Kristen. You've got to check out Refresh Your Plate. And her page, Gathering Health.
And Gathering Health, I mean, really just is a glimpse of the lifestyle that she lives.
It 100% is. And I know we got on this topic of hunting at the end of it, but I mean, I think if you're also somebody that has thought about hunting or has, you know, hasn't really experienced what that is, at least look into it. It's the most organic, purest form of food that you can get, hence Gathering Health. You know, you're going out and you're gathering the most best form of food that you could put in your body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, for sure.
Kristen, I'm gonna let you sign it off. I'm gonna let you just tell everybody where they can find you and what websites they can go to. Facebook, Instagram, all that jazz. Just give everybody the deets on you and what you do.
Perfect. So you can find me at Gathering Health at Instagram. You can find me at facebook.com/gatheringhealth. You can also find me at www.gatheringhealth.com or refresherplate.com.
Perfect. So, guys, there it is. If you want to be a better you, go check out Kristen and all the social media platforms that she just told you about. And again, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, guys, and you want to go to our website and reload your food and some relationship with your family by breaking bread with others, you can use coupon code ThatReloadLife. You can go to www.reloadlove.com. My wife is making faces at me as we speak.
I got caught.
But, guys, thank you so much. And as we always say, love hard, live well, and always...
Reload.
Reload, guys. We'll see ya.